you are a note taker this morning, or you just want to get the CD online or whatever, that's good too. Sometimes I just like to hear it and meditate on it as it's being delivered. The title this morning is Enter the Gates with Thanksgiving. Enter the Gates with Thanksgiving. It's already November 23rd, 2014. And I want to just share with you about Thanksgiving, since we're going to be having that this Thursday. And, you know, it's a time of reflection for us as Christians of the blessings that God's given us. It's really a time to reflect about who He is and how great He is. Amen. As Christians, we should be the most appreciative people during Thanksgiving, because we know what He's done for us, how He's laid down His life for us, how Jesus bared the cross for us, that so we can live in joy and peace and health and spiritual growth, that we got salvation. We ought to be thankful. This morning, we shouldn't be focused on all the material possessions we have. Those are just an outward appearance of God's blessing on our life because we're obedient. But with Thanksgiving, it's a time to really celebrate Jesus. And I did a little research on a few things, and I looked at our forefathers, and I thought this was interesting as we see the craziness happening in our world before us. That our forefathers had a boundless faith in God. They trusted in Jesus. They weren't tied into Muhammad or Buddha or any of these other crazy things going on. They had a trust and a relationship and a faith that was so strong that was built on Jesus Christ. But now we see all these powerful forces in our nation stripping us and just tearing it down. That we used to be one nation under God, but now we're one nation under several gods. And it weakens your position as a country. See, think about Thanksgiving. It's a distinctive holiday. It's not focused on someone's birthday. It's not celebrating a war or something that we defeated something. It's really a time to get together with friends and family and with your Heavenly Father and Jesus and thank Him for what He's done. Thank Him, though, even though you have to go to work that evening on Thanksgiving Day, because the retailers don't have enough money, so they want you to go at 5 o'clock. Amen. See, we look at it from the negative. Well, I got to go to work. Well, thank God you got a job. Because now they're no longer paying you straight time, they're paying you time and a half for your inconvenience. Come on now. But it's a distinctive holiday. It's not a birthday celebration. It really is supposed to be a time for our nation to say thank you for our nation's God. But we've lost that along the way a little bit. So this morning I've got only one scripture, and it's hard for me to only preach on one scripture because, you know, I want to tie a whole bunch of things. But God said, I want you to preach on one scripture this morning. I might backfill it with an extra one, but we'll see. But He wants us to take a look at Psalms 100, verse 1 through 5 this morning. And I want to show you something. Some things that God shared with me about Thanksgiving, because I am very thankful for who I am in Christ, and I'm thankful for a beautiful wife and children, and I'm thankful that that we still have some of our parents alive, and I'm thankful that I'm in a church where people are growing. Amen. You know, there's an article in the paper, and they had us in there, that we are the fastest growing church in the country. I don't know if you read that, but our people are growing faster than everybody else's. Amen. Because the word's being taught. Where there's no word, there's no growth. Amen. Not here to tickle your ear, or not here to entertain you. I'm just here to give you some information so that you can make wise choices based upon the Word of God, and then you can start thanking Him like I thank Him. Amen. Psalms 100, we're all there, right? New King James Version says this way. Verse 1 says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. That means all y'all folk. verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Don't walk around and say, oh, yeah, I'm one of those broke, busted, disgusted Christians. Yeah, you know, don't wreck it for the rest of us. Come on now. Put a smile on that face. Come on. Get that smile. I'm going through hell, but I'm still smiling. Why? Because I got Jesus on my side. Amen. Serve the Lord with gladness. I like that. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not ourselves. So don't get so big that you think you're all that in a slice of bread. Amen. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth for all generations. That's for all of us, and our kids' kids, and their kids' kids. So I just want to lay a little foundation this morning about this scripture, so you can kind of get a handle on it, and then I'm going to break it down into about five pieces, and then we'll get out. Amen? It'd be like, you know, like an entree. You know how they have that seven-course meal? This one will be five-course meal. Amen. I don't want to fill you up before Thanksgiving. Too much. So you look at Psalms 100, and it was written for the people of Israel. And God said to them, He said, I promised you the promised land, to settle down in your warm houses and get plenty to eat. He said, do me one thing. Don't forget me. I led you out of the wilderness. I brought you into the land of flowing of milk and honey. Just don't forget me. And it didn't take long that the people of Israel needed a reminder, just like we need a reminder. And sometimes we need a reminder from God that we need to be more thankful for what He's done, who He is. See, when the Psalms were written, specifically this one, you notice that it was addressed to some people. It said in the first verse, it was addressed to all the lands. In other words, and it said in the last verse, included all generations. That means you and I are included in this scripture, Psalms 100, verse 1 through 5. This is for you and for me. He didn't leave anybody out. He said, yo, this is for you, for your kids, for your kids' kids. The message of Thanksgiving is supposed to be very deep and wide and vast. It covers everybody. Jesus was never intending to leave anyone out. So we're going to take a look at this Psalm 100. I'm going to break it down just a little bit. My goal this morning is that once you get this word, I just don't want it to be information. I want it to be implemented, so that you can be better. It's great that you got a set of keys to that new car, but it doesn't go nowhere until you turn the ignition and put it in drive. You can read the manual all day long, but it ain't going to do you no good until you actually have possession of the key and you turn it on and you get to go. So that first scripture, the first verse of that scripture, says, shout for joy, all you lands. Now, what they meant there was like a trumpet blast, a very loud shout for what God has done for you. I don't know about you, but He got me through some trouble. He got me through some issues. He got me through some financial breaking. He got me through some sickness and disease. He got me through the teenage years almost, praise God, hallelujah. He got me through when they were little and just wanting something, amen. My daughter and I were, she wasn't feeling well yesterday, and we were bantering each other about getting a real tree or a fake tree. And she would send me, I'm out shopping around, and she would say, real tree, real tree. And then she put these little Christmas trees on the message of 100 Christmas trees. And the whole thing blew up. I'm like, what are you doing? So I just put fake tree, fake tree, fake tree, fake tree, you know. I said, why do I want to pay for it more than once? I mean, buy it, and we're good for 5 years, amen. Amortize the cost, you know. to an Oakdale, we got to have a real tree. So I thought I'd smarter. I went and bought that, you know, that fragrance of a new tree. And how, so I brought it, and you know, now they come in these little wax things, you know, that you have in your house. And I put it, and it smells like a pine tree. And I put it right next to her room, and it smells like a pine tree. I said, it's just like, almost like the real thing, baby. She says, Dad, you missed the whole point of it. It ain't the real thing. She goes, it smells like it. It's an imposter, like, but it's not the real thing. She was kind of like Jesus. A lot of people try to imitate and be like, but there's only one. So it looks like I'm going to have to buy a real tree or something. You know, maybe God healed your body or touched your mind. Maybe he provided some salvation for a family member or provided you some financial blessings. That's why you ought to be thankful. That's why you ought to shout. I don't know about you. I shout over the little things. When I get a free Starbucks, I shout. Because I'd have saved $5.19 on that gingerbread frappuccino, amen? It's in the little things we ought to be giving him thanks. How about that car that should have hit you, but it stopped and somehow you maneuvered around and it didn't hit you? You ought to be thankful for that. I ride a motorcycle, and man, I'm so thankful that I got angels encamped around me, amen? Because there's some times people just don't see you, and the only way is the Holy Ghost just moved you right around that situation. That's why I shout thank you all the time. Second thing about that verse, number two, serve the Lord with gladness. How many Christian people do you know that serve the Lord, but they're not happy? They don't do it with gladness. They walk around and they're just like, you know, you want to run away from them. You want to hang around with people that are excited about what the Lord's doing. You are going to go through some stuff. Let me explain something. You're not exempt from going through some stuff. Jesus had to go through some stuff. I don't think he was really saying, I just can't wait to go get those thorns put in my head. I really can't wait to get whooped on my back. I really can't wait to go and carry this cross. I really can't wait to get nailed to it. He went through some stuff, and so are you. But he did it with gladness. He did it. He knew that there was the end result was going to be great. So smile more. Life can be tough, but man, the tough get going. The Lord said, serve the Lord with gladness. He didn't say serve the church. He didn't say serve the pastor. He didn't say serve the leaders. He didn't say serve the organization. He said serve the Lord. Amen. Oh, man, other pastors would be, man, no, they ought to be, you know, picking up your dry cleaning and they ought to be getting your car washed. No, I know how to wash my own car. God gave me 2 hands and $5. I can get it done. Amen. I'm already blessed. You can't bless me any more than God's will. I'm going to heaven when I check out. I got it all figured out. I'm so thankful. He didn't say go serve all. Although you serve in a capacity, you go and serve God. You help those that are less fortunate. You help those that are in need. It's that person that's struggling at Sam's trying to get the bottles of water and they're 70 years old and you see their struggle and you go up and you help them put that into their car. That's called serving the Lord. Because they ain't expecting that. Because no one does that anymore. No one cares about someone else. Being a blessing. Seeing that mother that's struggling with food and you've been that person that has the ability to pay for the rest of the groceries before she has to put them back on the shelf and be embarrassed. And you say, no, I'll take care of that extra $40. Yeah, be in the hands of Jesus. Not beating them up about religion and not talking, oh, you know, all the scriptures and you know, thus saith the Lord, brother. And you're no, just being like Jesus. Acting like him. Jesus said this, inasmuch as you've done unto the least of these, you've done unto me. So when you go and you bless somebody, when you go out and you help someone, when you see your neighbor struggling with something, and you go and you be a blessing to them. Most of us don't even know our neighbors. When we were kids growing up, we knew all our neighbors. Our neighbor whooped our butt when we got out of trouble and sent you home, made the phone call. Your kid was acting up. I spanked him. He's on his way home. He'll be crying. Don't worry, he'll be crying some more when he get home. We don't even know who our neighbors are. We don't know who our, because we don't take the time or the interest to go and be like Jesus, serving somebody else. See, our natural reaction is to be appreciated when we do something. We want to, and I'll take this award on my behalf of what all I've done. Really? Isn't it maybe God got you where you're at because you were obedient? Look what the Lord has done. Do it with gladness. But we do have a natural desire for appreciation. When something goes well, we like to be appreciated. And my wife and I have come to the conclusion that you know, the one that matters most is when he appreciates me. When he says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." It don't matter what all y'all say. I mean, it's good, and I love you, and I appreciate it. But I want to make sure when I check out that the one that says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," is him. Amen. Well, they can say some great things at my funeral, and they can talk all that good stuff. But I want him to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I'm not excited when someone promotes me or says something kind. It's good, but it's so much better when God does it. It's so much better when you do something in private and then you get blessed for it. It's so good when you go in and you don't tell anybody that you're going to go do this, and you go do it, and then all of a sudden you see the blessing and people go, "Whoa, wow." And you know the only reason why all that worked out for your behalf is because God knew what you were doing. You did it in secret and God promotes. Amen. Appreciation Month, and all those cards and all that stuff, you know, that they put. And it's nothing wrong. A pastor should be appreciated. But you know what? Sometimes it goes to the head, and all of a sudden the head goes poop and pops, you know, and they're too big. They can't fit through the door. And then before you know it, you know, they need you to, you know what? God gave me two good legs, two good hands. I can go get some stuff done on my own. Amen. I'm thankful for it. Third verse says, "Come into his presence with singing." Another version says, "Make joyful noise unto the Lord." God says, when you're happy, you're going to shout with joy. When you serve with gladness, when you come with a joyful song in your heart. You know, I found in order to get out of my circumstances and my situations in life, I need to be praising him. I need to be thanking them in the small stuff, because when the big stuff comes, I'm going to get them shouting them. But it's in the little things. In those little struggles, the things that you beat, that addiction that used to whoop you, and now all of a sudden you're over that. Giving him thanks and praise all day long. Because the fourth verse says this. It says, "Know that the Lord, he is God." Not you. He is God. And it is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I don't know about you, but God had us in mind before you were even thought of in your mother's womb. God already created you in his image with a purpose and a plan to touch the world for Jesus. And you're going to do it in a different way than I'm going to do it, than the person sitting next to you is doing it. You're going to do it in a different way. But God already had you in mind, and you need to understand something, that you're his. He had you in mind, and he is still making us. Here's something about God. He's not done perfecting us yet. You know the anger issue you have? You know that sometimes when you get mad, or sometimes you don't hear, you're deaf in both ears when someone's talking to you? Husband and wives know that one pretty good. Did you say something? Come on now. See, God's not satisfied with an unfinished product. That's why he cares for you so much to beat those temptations, to deliver you from those issues and those bondages. He's still making you. He's still working on your life if you allow him. He's the maker and the creator You're made in his image, and that's why you ought to be thankful, because he's always trying to make you more like him. Every step is a little step closer to being just like Jesus. Jesus is trying to say, you be the sheep, I'll be the shepherd, I'll put you by still waters and green pastures if you let me lead you. See, a lot of us, we want to just lead. It's about time that we give God the keys and then we sit in the back. And then we take notice and take a smell of the roses along the way and look at the mountainside and look down at the valley where you used to be. And thank him all along the way while he's taking. Leads you to the fifth verse. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. And be thankful 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 to him. And bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures for all generations. We should enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We should enter into the church with thanksgiving. We should enter into the marketplace with thanksgiving. Everywhere we go, God's with us. When you wake up in the morning, you ought to be thankful. Every morning you wake up and you got breath in your lungs, you ought to be thankful. Gives you another opportunity to step on the devil. In the Old Testament, the temple gates always symbolized where the presence of God was. So they come into the temple and they enter into the courtyards where they knew where the presence of God was. Often we call it a sanctuary. We call it this the sanctuary. But you got to understand that God's everywhere you're at. In your job, in your school, in the marketplace, at the club, wherever you may be, God's there. See, he's the source of our thanksgiving. I'm going to ask you a couple questions this morning. I'm going to close with a couple thoughts. If you never saw another flower blossom because we grumbled when God sent rain. Think about that. I used to live in Michigan. We used to call it Seattle, Michigan, because it rains so much and there's so many gray days. And I used to complain about the rain, but there were some beautiful flowers. If God were to take away his message because we wouldn't listen to his messenger, think about that for a second. What if God wouldn't bless you today because you didn't thank him for yesterday? What if God answered your prayers the way you answer his call for service? What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we didn't want to follow him today? Psalm 103:10. I told you I'd get one more scripture in there. He has not dealt with us according to our own sins, nor punished us according to our own iniquities. That's the reason why the flowers are going to bloom and there's going to be rain, and even when we're grumbling, and even when we don't listen to the pastor or minister that's teaching the word, he's still going to continue to send them your way. Even when you didn't thank him for yesterday, he's still going to bless you today. Even when you didn't answer the call service when you're supposed to, he's still going to give you another opportunity to answer the call. He's still going to lead you even when sometimes you don't want to be led, because it might be painful, it may be hard, it might have triggered something in your past. God's just trying to wipe that old past out because your future's so bright. God just wants you to be thankful. See, if we apply those words that were in Psalms 100 this morning, we'd have a different outlook on the world. We wouldn't be looking at it from this view, but we would be looking at it from the penthouse view. We'd be looking at it from 20,000 feet in the air and see how blessed you really are. But we got to be thankful. We got to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We got to be praising him and worshiping him and thanking him for what he's done. Has God done anything for you lately? Has he blessed you in any form or fashion? Do you still got gas in your car? Oh my God, do you even have a car? God blessed you with that. Amazing, you got a blanket on your bed so you're not freezing in it. Oh, because you have a bed because God blessed you with that bed in the house or the apartment that he blessed you with. But you're complaining about the apartment. Well, go and do something more for God and he'll get you a house. But be thankful for what you got right now. We used to see the car I drove. You don't know what I got. I don't drive a Bentley either. Be blessed with what you have. Be thankful for what he's blessed you with. Because there's some other things God wants to bless you with, but you have to get in position and answer his call. When he speaks, you got to say, yes, God. Why? You know why? Because every time you're praising him and thanking him, he's listening. Do you realize that? I don't know about you, but when my kids praise me and they thank me, even though I might be look like I'm sleeping, I got one eye closed, I'm still listening. Amen. Oh, they're talking some good stuff about that. Oh, man, I love that. That's how the Heavenly Father feels. They're speaking some good stuff about me. They're thanking me. They're praising me. They've seen what I did with my son on that cross. How he was outstretched for all mankind. Hey, look what my son has done. He was willing and obedient. But yet, sometimes we're unthankful for that. When you're at Thanksgiving with the loved ones and some of them that, you know, just get on your nerve, just love them that they can get on your nerve. Thank God they're still in your life because, you know, next week they may not show up. Be thankful for the time that you're spending with people. My father, this is the first year I won't have my father for Thanksgiving. But man, he's at the feast. He's at the buffet table with Jesus. He'll be a little lonely. We won't have him there and stepping on his oxygen and poking fun at him and watching him eat all the candy and sweets he shouldn't have because he's got diabetes and shooting himself with more insulin because, you know, I had 4 chocolate bars, you know. We're going to miss that. But I'm thankful for the time I had. I'm thankful for the time that he's been in my life for those 80-some years, even though I've only been around 50 of them. Amen. See, you ought to be thankful for the employees that you have or your employer that we bash all the time and they don't do this right. They don't do that. They gave you a job. Be thankful. They ain't perfect. All right, well, I'm getting up in your stuff. You're going to say, man, Pastor, you picked on me. I'm just trying to help you. Take the negative and make it a positive. Close with this scripture. Paraphrase my way. See, when you look at that scripture, can you put that one up there, son, that last one we had? He has not dealt with me according to my sins, nor punished me according to my iniquities. Yesterday, I had the privilege to go see my son play in a band. He's in a band. It's their first gig. And it was at a Tommy Rockers. And everyone goes, oh, Pastor went to a bar. I got delivered from a bar. I got delivered from drinking 22 years ago. I got delivered from carousing around and being a fool. And to walk in there sober and straight and watch the craziness of people being the fool that they were when I was 20 years old, I said, thank you. And I went there because there was a benefit to help. It was a heart thing there. They don't have a heart facility here, a heart transplant facility, and they were raising money. And my son's band was asked to play and rock the place out. There's several other bands, and I wanted to go support my son like Jesus supported his son. And it didn't matter where it was at. Because sometimes, you know, you got to understand, Jesus, he didn't hang around with people that were healthy. He hung around those that were sick in sin. And we got to sit back and we got to watch people. I mean, I seen a guy with a shirt that said Jaws on it. I said, oh, my God. You remember Jaws? Remember that back in 1970-something? The guy still had the T-shirt, man. I couldn't believe it didn't fade after 400 washes. I mean, I was like, you know, and by the end of the night, he had the Bozo big top shoes. You ever see that? Where, you know, they're not really big, but he kind of like drunk and stumbling around. And everybody just fell, I love you, man. He was so thankful that he was going to have a setter in this morning. But I was so thankful that I could just go and participate and be a witness and stay up to 2 o'clock in the morning, way past my bedtime. But to see what God delivered me from, to walk amongst those I used to be like, to be more like him. That didn't even touch me, didn't even faze me, didn't even, you know, I said, God, you delivered me from that. You delivered me from that sickness of that alcohol. You delivered me from that sinful nature. You delivered me from all that craziness and waking up in the morning feeling like your head's this big. I'm keeping it real. I am thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful that I've been set free. I'm thankful that I'm healthy. I'm thankful that God has got big plans for me. And they're so big, I don't understand. I'm just going to follow him. I'm going to be led wherever he's at. I'm just going to enter into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. I'm like, oh, Lord, thank you. I thank you. Lord, I don't know what you're trying to do here. But I just thank you for what you're doing. Because, see, I know where I came from. And it's sad because you see the people that are there are so lost. A kind smile, a God bless you, brother. Probably 50 years old, they look like they're 70 because they've been drinking and smoking, and just that whole environment just cycles you, undertolls you. And to be delivered from that. I don't know about you, I'm pretty thankful. I could have been, should have been, but God. Should have been in that car that crashed because we were all drunk, but God had a different plan. Didn't get arrested with that DUI when I couldn't even talk and was like Bozo's big top guy and like walking around. Being thankful for what he's done. Being thankful for what he's allowed you to avoid in your life. Oh. The latter days are better than the former days. The latter days, the last 20-some years have been so much better than those first 20 or 25. They were good, but the last 25 have been sweet. Cost me something. Had to remove some relationships and had to cut away some things, but oh, it's so much better to be in the house of the Lord. I mean, I could be watching football and blowing off church and you know, and having another one so the headache goes away, but no. I'm full of the Spirit of the Lord. I serve the Most High God. I am so thankful. So when I hear this scripture and I read the scripture and I dissect it, I'm going to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I sometimes I have to enter the gates like this, a little knee. Oh God, oh yes, Lord, thank you. Sometimes I have to bow down before I can enter into the throne room. And I laugh about that because I was at a store this week, and they said, hey, before you can come into the store, you have to put these booties on your shoes. I said, but I got new shoes. Thinking to myself. He said, but before you come into our store, you have to put these booties on. Put these booties on? Yeah, because it's an Apple store. Brand new Apple store in Summerlin was opening up. And they have these special floors that they didn't want that scuffed up before they opened up yesterday. So could you please enter into our store, but you have to put your booties on. So I thought, as I'm sitting in the car, I'm taking those booties with me and use that as a sermon on Sunday. Shake my booty. Come on now. No, just kidding. When you enter into the gate with thanksgiving, Jesus don't care if you got booties on, your shoes on, your sandals on, what kind of mess you're in. God just says, come on and enter into the gates with thanksgiving and praise. I want to take you the way you are, not the way the world wants to accept you, not with a whole bunch of rules and regulations. Just come and enter into the gates with thanksgiving and praise. See, that's going to mess you up for lunchtime right there. Walk into the Apple store and I got to have booties. Special. We got the special concrete floor from wherever. It looks like concrete to me. Enter in the gates. I want to enter in the throne room of God when I have. I'm going to come in there. I'm going to come in there with my knees down and say, thank you, Jesus. He takes you just the way you are. He accepts you just the way you are. He loves you just the way you are. And then when you ask him in, he begins to change. And you're no longer like those people at the bar that are drunk and disgusted and not know what's going on. They're lost. He opens the light and says, hey, now let me check this out, what I got for you. You might have to crawl out of that hole, but I'm going to help you. I've already paved the way. I've already made the way. Come on now. Why don't you come and enter into the gates with thanksgiving for what I've just taken you from? You didn't have to put no booties on. You don't have to. You don't have to. You can come in with your sandals with the dirt on it. He accepted you just the way you are. So this week, your assignment is when you're with your loved ones, when you're with your brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts and parents and grandparents. And I know sometimes family can be tough. But thank God. See y'all smile. I can see it smirk. I know. Praise the Lord. The family coming over. You just don't know, Pastor. No, I know. That's why God gave me earplugs. You gotta love them. Thank God that they're in your life. They're in your life for a reason. Maybe you're the one who's just going to share the love of Jesus. Not even saying a word. You might just share the love that will change them. A pivot point, a turnaround. Or maybe you're going out to eat because you don't have a family meal cooked. But where you go be a blessing to that server or those people there. And maybe you just share a little bit about Jesus. Man, I'm so thankful that we got this meal. I'm so thankful that we're at this buffet. I'm so thankful that we're here today. I understand you're working today. I just hope that God blesses your house. Leave them a nice big tip. And say, I know that you're working on a day that you should be with your family, and God recognizes that. And I just want to make sure that I'm a blessing to you. I'm thankful that you're here serving me today. Be that blessing this week. I know you always give 20%. Maybe you give 25 or 30. Maybe you give them 50% tip. Come on now. Because that will get their attention so that you can share something about Jesus. You give a big enough tip, they say, sir, is there a problem with your pen here? Why, has it run out of ink? Number was too big? Well, you know, that's like 40% of the bill. I just wanted to talk to you for a minute. The reason why I can do this is because the God that I serve blessed me. And I just want to be a blessing to you. because I have overflow in my life, and it's just spilling into your life because you serve me so well. I just wanted to tell you, the Heavenly Father would be really blessed to know that you serve me so well. I just want to be a blessing back to you. You go, pastor's crazy. No, that's how you lead people to Christ, not with a bunch of religion. It's about relationship. You don't think that person's going to tell 50 people, this, someone left me a 40% tip, and they just told me about how they got blessed, and it's pretty simple, ain't it? Why? Because you're thankful. I'm thankful. I want to get, every time we have an opportunity to be thankful, I want to bless somebody. Better to give than to receive. That's why Jesus gave him himself, so that we could receive. And that's why I'm so thankful. Lord, I ask you to bless your people. And everything that they do, Lord God, this week, let them be thankful. Lord God, as they leave this place today, let them be thankful. Let them, Lord God, recall all your goodness. Not just the financial blessings, Lord God, not the home or the car, but Lord God, how you healed them. How their children were sick and, Lord God, you made them well. Lord, how they were wayward and how you brought them home. Lord God, thanking you, Lord God, for what you're already doing. Thank you for the job, Lord God, you've given me. I mean, Lord, I thank you for a job that might even be better. But give me more income so that I can give more to the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for that front row parking spot that I'm going to get during the holiday season for shopping. I'm thanking you in advance for it, Lord God. I'm thanking you, Lord God, that I'm going to have so many gifts that I can be a gift giver this year in an extreme way, Lord. Not to show off me, but to show off you and how much you bless me, Jesus. I just want to thank you in the little thing. I thank you, Lord God, in the little stuff. I thank you, Lord God, for the right choices and the good decisions. I thank you for the right people that I surround myself with. Lord God, I thank you for health, Lord God. I thank you for my parents, Lord. I thank you for my cousins, my relatives, my aunts, my uncles, all those, Lord God, that will gather around during the holiday season, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for the stranger I don't know yet, but I'm about to meet, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, that we're blessed in the little things, Lord God, but we're going to be blessed in great things, Lord God. That, Lord God, we are the head, not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We're blessed coming in, Lord God, but Lord God, when we leave today, we're even more blessed when we go out. I ask you, Lord God, to protect your people. I had your protection around us, Lord God, a safety net around us everywhere we go. Lord God, give us favor when we shop. Give us favor in the stores. Give us favor with people. Give us favor with our bosses, Lord God. Give us increase, Lord God, everywhere we go, Lord God. Even if it's, Lord God, we don't deserve it, Lord God, just bring it on to us this day. We thank you, Lord God, for any little tests, any little trials. For Lord God, Lord, in order to have the testimony, we have to go through the test. So I thank you, Lord God, for all the little trials and tests we have, Lord, so that I can just show off how big my God is, how you can overtake every circumstance and every situation in my life. That, Lord God, everything has to bow to the name of Jesus. Every sickness, every disease, every financial lack, everything's got to bow to your name. I ask you, Lord God, to bless us this week. And, Lord God, we leave here with thanksgiving and praise and joy in our hearts this morning. I ask you to bless your people in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord some hand clap. Give him a little praise. Maybe you want to thank him for what he's already done and what he's about to do in your life. Hallelujah. God is good. You are dismissed. There's some coffee and some stuff out there that the youth have been putting together. So go enjoy that fellowship. Love on somebody this morning. Amen. Be thankful that they're here. Praise God.